This is The Financial Coconut, Singapore's first personal finance podcast network. And I'm Timothy Mazier, editor-in-chief of Blockhead. Join me and the crew on our weekly Friday segment as we filter out the noise in the crypto space and keep you updated on the ideas that actually matter. This is Blockcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to another episode of Blockcast. I'm your host, Reggie, aka Your Chief Financial Coconut.
Oh, hey guys, I'm Mark and I am the founder and CEO of Blockhead.
What's up, what's Lee here?
And this is Timothy Mazier, managing editor at Blockhead.
Nice. And if you cannot tell, we are finally all in the same space.
Right? I don't think they can tell. How would they be able to tell?
From an audio perspective,
audio can tell.
Fantastic.
Very smooth.
Yeah, very smooth. Yeah. We share the same room tone.
Yeah. Okay. this is clearly a podcast noob.
You will learn that, right? But yeah, finally, we're in the same space. Feels kind of weird.
Actually, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it feels kind of weird, eh? Yeah, you don't feel so?
Yeah, a little bit because
your call just remote.
You feel a bit more polite, like you don't have to speak out of turn to people around you.
You're learning your dues, huh?
Yeah. You know, online it's very easy.
I get it. I actually understand what you're saying.
More on the control here.
Yeah. Very good. I control yourself. Right? If not, my editor always tell me, what the mark? Tangent only say, right? But
it's called ADHD, guys.
It's fine. I mean, it creates entertainment value. Okay, so, cool. So that's great. Another week, another crazy week, another good stuff, right? And I think there's the middle story is quite a big story. So yeah, but we got to start with the first story. Anybody wants to take the first story?
I'll introduce it. It's about WorldCoin and an AI explosion.
Like WorldCoin, like global.
Okay, yeah, global. I mean, this token project has been around for a while, since 2019. We covered it more than a year ago, but just because of its dystopian nature, basically you scan your iris and you get tokens in return.
So what does that mean? You scan your iris and you get tokens.
I think that maybe it helps to kind of also explain the history of who founded this.
No. So it's been around since 2019. Okay, and previous investors in the company include A16Z, SBF.
Of course.
You know, of okay. FTX
yeah.
fame.
Yeah. Obviously.
And internet entrepreneur Reid Hoffman.
Everyone, right? Everyone. Yes.
So it's supposed to, I mean, basically they use iris biometrics to establish an individual's identity, essentially.
Wow.
So then it creates a so-called digital world ID that can be used pseudonymously, you know, for everyday applications without revealing your identity. I mean, obviously, this raises a bunch of other questions like, you know...
Privacy.
Yeah. I mean, the company obviously knows who you are and has your biometric details and all that.
I will not do that.
There's no freaking chance.
Don't even want to do circle DNA. Plus, you tell me to do this
Plus, I think that the other part about this also is that, you know, like Sam Altman's driving the
so
project,
that's,
right?
That's why it's okay. In the news again. Yeah. So who's Sam Altman?
He's the founder of ChatGPT, OpenAI. So he's the guy driving all that AI development that, you know, we're all familiar with. So he's also the guy that is, you know, looking to take our biometric data and then, I don't know, man. I don't know what he's going to do with it.
He's raising $100 million.
It's probably a nine-figure sum to kind of launch this project.
No, it's launched already, right? But it's just that I think now the company wants to roll out the blockchain protocol in the next month.
What actually makes me very uncomfortable is because if we look at what's happening with ChatGPT, right? And then if there's uptake on this and, you know, it's well adopted, imagine kind of like, you know, he has access to all this biometric data and then he has all that AI machine learning kind of like...
Exactly.
Access to that. So if you put one and one together, right? What do you get? Armageddon.
Skynet.
Skynet, very suggestive of which era you're from.
That's true. You just give away your age, right?
Daddy Bosley.
Daddy Lee.
Daddy Lee, no longer Boss Lee. Okay. So wait, the idea here is you give up your DNA data and then you get some sort of a coin. And this under the world coin structure.
Basically, you get tokens. La, okay, yeah. Okay. But then you give up your biometric data to create a digital ID that you can then use for everyday applications without revealing who you actually are.
Okay, then what's the
but there's a centralized company that knows who you truly are.
Yeah, okay. So that aside, right? That's annoying, right? And it's so shitty, right? But
I guess, things like, when you sign up for whatever the most basic level, like a mailing list, or like you just need to fill out a personal profile for whatever application you want to use online. Instead of that, you just have a verified digital world ID. I mean, I guess, people like A16Z think that this is going to, be the next thing to change the world.
Okay, what I think is what they're all trying to do here, right, is, in my opinion, is that the pseudonymous nature of crypto, right, has always made like the government, the regulators very uncomfortable. And they also see the need for the industry to kind of, find some sort of middle ground, right? Because it is that kind of messy and pseudonymous nature of the industry that actually makes it attractive. So right now, it's been quite polarizing, right? You have, we need KYC, all that stuff on the traditional finance side. And then you have people in the crypto world who just don't want to be a part of that. So I think that right now, they're just trying to find some sort of balance here. You can scan your ID, your iris, and then you're still going to be kind of pseudonymous, but you can have all the benefits of
the crypto side.
Web3 identity.
Web3 identity, but with all the benefits of actually like all the KYC stuff, you can kind of check it out. It takes a check mark as well. So this is some sort of weird balance that I think that they're trying to achieve with this, in my opinion, when I look at something like this. It doesn't make sense. And then the second point for me here is that this is, I don't know whether you call this going on a tangent, right? I mean, you see there have been calls from, I think, the broader tech community, including people like Elon Musk, right? Steve Wozniak from Apple, to regulate and slow down, innovation in certain areas, especially AI. Cynically, I think that, they just kind of want to buy some time to get their own products out to the market.
I don't disagree with you. That's a problem. Yes.
Right? But then on the other hand, also, it does raise the question of I think behind ethical innovation, right? It doesn't feel like I need this piece of technology, or I don't see how it's going to make my life better. Maybe I'm just not a visionary in that regard. I can only see one step ahead of me.
I
can't.
And why are we talking about this, actually? Like this whole WorldCoin thing, like why do our audience need to know about it? Is it like trending as f- or like,
yeah, I mean, it's
are we trying to tell our audience, don't do it? Don't save your DNA data, right? Save your biometric data. It's worth more.
I mean, if you want an idea of how extreme the world has become in certain areas, right, of tech innovation. So this is a combination of tech, blockchain, and then privacy and AI all lumped into one, right? It's all the trending kind of news narratives and themes, so that's why it's kind of being talked about. And
it has big backers as well.
I just think that it's scary to me.
Don't do it.
Altman's background, he's chairman of YC, right? You'll know about YC?
Yes.
Also, YC is a very big...
I know Y Combinator.
Startup.
Not UEC, yeah.
I know.
We don't go there.
The
TikTok saga. Okay, never mind. Okay. I spent too much time there. Right. So
I have no idea what that.
No, my God. But anyway, yeah. Okay, fair. Interesting. But my hot take is just don't do it, okay? Just keep your biometric data. Why do you need this stupid world coin for? Right? And then there are many other things that you can do. And if you ask me, I actually would structurally argue that I would trust the government more than I trust a private company.
I agree.
A very different thing altogether.
I mean, I'm sure government partnerships are on the cards, right?
So
the business model could be like Palantir for them.
I was just going to say Palantir. Guys, anyone bought Palantir recently?
I know you have because the previous episode you
were. Yeah.
Oh, you bought Palantir?
I did. I got actually pretty drunk and had one night and I just decided to come. I didn't buy a lot of it. It wasn't a lot. It was a huge sum, but
I thought you listened to our podcast. We analyzed Palantir a little bit.
I know. I just looked at it as Lord of the Rings name.
Okay, let me just tell you that is not house view. That is not how you should do it. Don't listen to this guy.
Lord of the Rings, guys. Come on,
just tattoo only, right? It's fine, right? What the fuck? Right? Don't do that, right? Oh my goodness. But anyway, it's for your own research. We never recommend. But yeah, if you are considering Palantir, head over to the Financial Coconut Investor Network podcast. Inside confirm got some research there, right? Yeah, we've done a little bit of that discussion. So yeah. Okay, cool, interesting. Just don't do WorldCoin, huh? Okay. I'm very insistent.
Yeah, like, just like your kids in school, like, kids, don't do WorldCoin.
Just protect your biometric data. I don't understand how people
eventually
can just
when
give
it
up.
Government partnerships, that you will be obligated to use it, right?
No, but then the regulation infrastructure will be very different, right? Mm. By then, right? Or at least the expected regulation, it will be very different, right? It's like you give your biometric data to SingHealth as compared to you don't tell me it's the same. It's not the same, right? The expected governing structure, right? But okay, we don't go there. Like, governing structure very complex and very boring, right? So yeah, that's the end of the first story with WorldCoin and endless blockchain AI domination of the world, right? So let's bring us to the second story.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, yes. So, the 1st of June, Hong Kong is going to, as part of their regulatory framework, they are going to allow retail investors to partake in crypto gambling.
Crypto investing.
Crypto investing.
Okay. Yeah. Gambling was what we talked about last week, right? The UK
we did.
Government,
That's why I brought it up, I guess. But yes, so and this is obviously a very exciting development for a number of reasons.
I just want to point out that Boss Lee jumped out and say, "Hey, it's investing, huh?" Protecting the space. Okay, yes, please continue.
Yeah. So yeah, people are excited because first of all, it's Hong Kong, right? Like it's a big move in the APEC space. It's one of the financial centers. It's a lot of money there still. And the other part about it is that, if you just do a cursory search on Google, you would see that people are just pretty hot about which Chinese cryptocurrencies that...
There's another reason why people are very excited. Because right now it's like the bear market, right? So they see the exit liquidity coming in already.
Liquidity coming in.
That is like the third thing, like, for sure.
People are excited. Oh, fresh new funds coming in for me to unload to them.
Unload the stuff. So it's a big development. I think it'll certainly call to the question, how it highlights the Singapore versus Hong Kong thing again, as it's always been going on. Right.
They launched the consultation process on this. It was only less than 2 months ago,
Tim, no one cares about consultation.
I mean, it's two months only, bro.
2 months can come out already.
Yeah, I know. They're really quick. I mean, compared to Singapore and other jurisdictions, they publish a consultation document. They get all the feedback, and within 6-7 weeks, they have a launch date. Already.
If I would say something, right, Hong Kong really needs this, They really do. I think that
all the funds flow here already.
It's lost its luster over the years, right? And I think that this is just another narrative that is strong for them as a country. Yeah.
It's a 10% corporate tax kind of situation. Yeah, I don't know the corporate tax structure there, but it is what it is. I want to ask, is the broader crypto space really expecting liquidity outflow through China? China coming through, Hong Kong coming out. Is that the kind of expectation?
Liquidity outflow?
In a sense of Chinese funds coming into
people
the space in a more direct fashion.
So at least in the crypto space, I see on Twitter, so people are excited because definitely among the Twitter, how do I say this, on my timeline. So people are excited because new investors coming in, this also means increase in liquidity. And there is also anticipation with this opening to the retail investor. What are the tokens, right? What are the coins or what are the assets that they will be looking for?
So are we not anticipating money flowing into the Chinese market, or are we expecting Chinese money to flow out to the broader market?
Chinese money coming into the crypto market.
That's the excitement.
Because they've never really, if you think about outside of the Chinese market, right, we've already had those options outside of Hong Kong already.
So
people have been trading this. But I think the theory here is that now mainland Chinese have
an avenue to
kind of, I'm sure they've already been doing it through VPNs or whatever.
But
then it still would have some
easier,
sort of impact.
Easier.
Okay.
But then are people not expecting to, through this opening up and a structure to be able to then have an easy touch base into the Chinese crypto market, or?
Chinese crypto market? I don't understand.
In a sense that with the regulation, you're essentially allowing for money to flow in and out relatively smoother, right? So why is it only a one-way out expectation and no way in? Nobody's expecting money to flow into Chinese projects.
Off-ramp through Hong Kong also. That's one of the avenue. But at least for the excitement, right? It's like, so you have to come in first, make or lose, then you can go out, right?
Okay.
But investing in Chinese projects is something that could be interesting too. That's the
different game.
Different game. Yeah.
How is it different?
So some of the things that they look at could be very much different from how we look at. So typically,
share more with us,
because they have a lot of miners. So this is some of my personal take, not the whole space take. But they might be more interested in...
you never speak for the space one. Okay, yeah. You speak for yourself.
They might be more interested in coins that involve mining. That's an not exactly proof of work. Like, for example, hot take already. For example, Filecoin. So Filecoin is, they allow you to be a storage provider. So you can, if you have machines, you can be a storage provider for them. And through that, you earn the File token. Then you can, of course, sell the File token. So the File token is a form of reward. And in March, they also released the FVM, which is the Filecoin virtual machine. So when more people use, then the token becomes deflationary and it can get burned. So they look for this kind of stuff where you can have put the machine to work, So if you think about it, because they used to have a lot of miners before the clampdown on the BTC and all, right? So all these machine, either they can mine stuff or they can use it for storage, right? So if they provide a service to Filecoin, and right now they can earn the token and they can sell officially, right, through Hong Kong. So that's a plus, lah.
Okay. I mean, it's interesting also from like just the whole mining aspect, right, from a culture point of view, because it is something that is...
Are you saying Chinese people are mining? Are like miners? Culture?
Yes.
Maso Kang one, right? Like, hey, show, hey, play that kind of Chinese music.
Not in that sense, but yeah.
I would say that it feels more tangible.
Yeah, so the thing about it is that it is actually the kind of business that when you think about cryptocurrency mining, right, you know, a lot of it used to kind of are still kind of based in certain areas in China, and they're like, you know, gigantic kind of like...
Yeah, I've seen those.
You know, and so I'm not saying that this is like, you know, Chinese culture, but I think it's just like, you know, a practice or like a common industry over there, right? And then like, yes, it is also more tangible. So maybe that's why they kind of like it.
No, I think the logic is intact. Actually, if you go and really understand the history of why a lot of history, right, it's a few decades of history as to why a lot of these mining infrastructures are in China, right? Actually, a lot of them shifted north because of the electricity bills, right? They had a lot of electricity access because they built out all these extra dams, right? So different states, right, in order to attract, you know, businesses to come in, they actually, certain states have rebate on electricity. So it's so cheap that big infrastructures were all in the north, right? Xinjiang, in Dongbei, in some of those other places, right? Where electricity is so cheap, they don't really have big industries. Or some of them, Dongbei actually has very big industries. But anyway, they went there for electricity. And eventually, the government clamped down because the government realized that, hey, you are not producing real value, quote unquote. And that was a whole extension of this whole like saga, or like clamping down mining and all that. So that, I think that is the backdrop of like, because of the hardware that they have. And you know, if you go to like Shenzhen, right, you can build your own computer like walking down a street shopping like that, you know. It's so simple, right? So all this hardware is being transferred into that and doing this whole thing, right? So I actually understand what Boss Lee is trying to say.
But you are also
that.
Saying that, so it's actually culture, that's the...
No, it's not culture. It is a structural reality, you know. So
they have a tangible asset.
All these things sitting around, you gotta do something with it, and then you go with it, right? So I think
they like to see this kind of tokens or coins that involve, I mean, ideally it can involve machines lah. Otherwise, they are also very into ETH staking, because you can do validation work and all, or become validator. So these are the things that they are looking at, some of the tokens they are looking at may not be on our radar.
So should we then, as retail investors, care about what the Chinese people care? Because if they are one of the bigger pools out there, right, then on some level, the volume swings the market, right?
Yes. So I would think that in the short run, if you are in the game for the short run kind of thing, then you should pay attention to the tokens and coins that the Chinese people like. Because definitely, It's more of when the new liquidity comes in, right? They will also look for things that are familiar. So, oh, this one used to be Chinese CEO or this kind of background one, right? Then they put their money in.
This is a broad question, but I'm just very curious whether we'll see some of the other tokens that, you know, like that are kind of dead, like, you know, rise from the grave.
Actually, right? Hard to say it.
You know, like, yeah, you know, like your Neo and your VeChain, all this kind of allow.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Hard to say. So this is another, this is a
by
very
the
hot
comeback
take.
Moment, is it? Yeah. Very hot take. Well, this one, like, burning on fire.
It's dirt cheap now. You can go look at it. Like, you know, it's actually like, you know, like, I mean, minimal downside. Okay, you know what? I don't want to get into it.
No.
Let's not go there.
Yeah. But please.
But if you think about it in pure speculation mode, right? Actually, tokens that are dying or with very least liquidity, if a group of wealthy people come together, they can pump it up again.
I mean, that's
and
the whole
idea,
right?
They get the retail excited, then they unload. Mm.
And the momentum tricks
possible,
the board,
yeah.
The whole shit comes
so
in.
So it's
blah,
very
blah,
possible.
Blah, okay,
it's very possible. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There's this token called Pokkai.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm wait. Never financial advice. So I'm not saying
please go and just go and buy whatever shit the boss say.
But this token called Pokkai is dead lah. So the
Pokkai lama.
Yeah, it's Pokkai. It's like really dead. But it has a very strong Chinese meme culture. So when we come back, I don't know. I'm just saying that there's such a token out there.
The narrative to watch.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
Very, very cute name, right? Pokkai. Yeah.
Don't. There are many other ways to make money. I think Palantir is a better bet than Pokkai. Okay, just saying. But I don't think I will subscribe to that way or buy Palantir. It's like, hey, one day we high, say. Then it's like, hey, let's go lah, bro. Palantir. 10,000 in. Okay, let's do it. It's
like, what, scared us.
What's that what you did? What's that you did?
Kind of.
Don't say you learn from here. Okay.
Kind of, but yeah.
It's okay. Yeah, we all learn. Nice. So yeah, once again, China takes center stage, you know. It's quite crazy.
Yeah.
Have you heard what the Chinese ambassador said today? The new Chinese ambassador to US?
No.
He was like, well, we hope that the US will step up and work with us on creating world peace or something along those lines. And, the tables have tilted. It's not, we hope that the US will follow global rules. And I was like, what?
No, but I mean,
where are you getting this confidence from?
I think they're trying to kind of up their soft power game.
They are.
I think they've also just realized that if you want to kind of compete at a level, right, there's that definite culture element that they have to win.
Yes.
And it's, I mean, okay, this is a tangent.
That one take time one.
This is a tangent, right? But I don't know about you guys, when I was growing up, I kind of like yearned to kind of live in the US, right? Because of like Hollywood, all that shit, right? But now
then became Canada, right? Because Kim's convenience.
haven't seen that.
But is that cute? Watch. Yes.
I mean, like, it's just, you know, like, I feel as if as a destination, it's just lost a lot of appeal. You know, so like, and I think that there's that gap, you know, like, not that I want to go and live in China, you know, I don't want to do that as well, but you know, but
be a minor.
Hey,
enough, say, hey, enough, hey, the image, that good, say.
Hey, but I'm in some Chinese Telegram group, some of these investors. They are also very into blockchain technically.
They got manuals, you know. There was a period of time the tech companies were giving out blockchain manuals. Like, go and read, go and learn. Right? Yeah. So all like my friends were in the Chinese company saying, like, what the fuck? They got this blockchain manuals just floating around, you know, teaching all of us, you know, in those big tech companies. So it's like, okay, that's very interesting, right? But I don't think the Chinese government love the speculation side of things.
They want you to adopt.
It's like very Singapore position, actually. It's like, don't speculate, but you try to adopt the technology.
They just want a CBDC. That's what the digital yuan.
That's all they need. And then after that, you will see the digital
It's interesting,
dollar.
Right, to see how Hong Kong is like opening up, but the rest of China still...
No, Hong Kong is always a test
sandbox.
It's always a sandbox.
Because it's like, you know, the gateway to the West, you know, it's always been...
It's only 3% of GDP at this moment. Okay, like you play your Tai Chi, right? Like at first it was not, right? But now it's just a sandbox. So all sorts of weird things will happen in Hong Kong, right? And also a gateway for more companies to kind of like test it out, right?
Or Singaporean companies.
Yeah, Singaporean companies now. Yeah. But Singapore is a competitor, As much as our government say no, but we are competitor. A lot of flows in, right? But that's a different discussion.
We are frenemies.
Worst of enemies.
So yeah, okay, that's enough. Enough of
keep your enemy closer.
Yeah. Okay, great. Right. So we continue to observe to see if China continues to swing the market and see where Hong Kong brings us. Let's go to the third story, right? The third story.
The DGEN story of the day.
Wow, so, important.
DGEN, shitcoins. Okay, so... So I wanted to share about this story.
Bro, that could
on...
be a segment, just saying, right? Like yeah. DGEN could be our like
DGEN corner.
Yeah, like DGEN corner is our segment. But anyway, please go.
So I wanted to share this story about this particular token called PSYOP. So again, never financial advice. So to give some backstory.
It's called DGEN corner already.
Yeah, bro, it's called DGEN corner.
Yeah, DGEN corner.
Our third story will always be DGEN corner.
So this guy called Ben_Eve. So Ben Eve, you can search for him on Twitter. So what he did was created a Ben token. And this later on, this Ben token got sold to BitBoy Crypto. So this is a very big influencer. So from there, he got some fame and immediately he launched his next token. So the way that he launched the next token got some controversy. So what he did was he just posts on Twitter, like, send me ETH and I'll send you back. One of the texts will be, I'm going to launch a new token. Send me ETH. I'm going to send you back the new token. And there was no name or nothing. So through that, a few days, I think he collected about 7 million.
What?
Fundraising, like, open space, Twitter. So
wait,
this guy
teach
is
me about DGEN corner. So I sent million for.
But of course, this guy also got some fan base already. And he got a BAYC.
Okay, got the
check.
Okay.
But I feel that the BAYC doesn't do much of the picture, but it might have some effect. So raise 7 million. And right after that, it was very controversial because by right, this is considered a securities already. People are saying that he's a US citizen or under US law, so you can actually go after him. But some degens don't care. So crypto space, right? Free flow, you can do anything you want. And so right now the market opened for a few days already. How he opens the market or what happened was also quite interesting. So when he launched, he just say the token pool is up. So for decentralized finance, right? You don't actually have a like centralized exchange and release and all this. Basically what you do, you take your own token and some ETH put together and put it into a decentralized exchange and a pool is formed. And this is the market. So when he launched, he just say he launched and this also created a lot of controversy. But controversy also attract attention is when he say he launched, a lot of other scammers also launched the same name at the same time. So when people go and buy, right, they get confused. They might buy the wrong stuff. And there was also a honeypot. Honeypot is where you can buy and you cannot sell. So a lot of saga, a lot of drama for 2-3 days where people buy the wrong token or people buy a token in a pool that has very little liquidity. So a lot of drama. But this guy is very good at selling. This Ben guy, so he can create a lot of controversy, say a lot of rubbish. And the more he say, people get excited. Then right now, the token pump. I think the initial holders, at least 3x already right now.
What?
Yeah. I have to say that this guy, first of all, I think I've got potential because one syllable name, right? Ben, right? Next one is Mark.East.
Okay. We got to stage it, right?
Can I add something? I'm really
Paul and Matthew, right?
You can do anything about it. I'm super interested in tech also. It's very possible to create a Mark token in 30 minutes.
Yep. And after that, it's just how... So, like, what's actually really kind of, like, impressive... I mean, to me, it's impressive, you know, like, so he must have really understood what's going to happen after this, right? Like, okay, you launch that token, right? There's going to be... Scammers are going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? And then that is essentially that marketing strategy. Because, like, no matter what it is, right, it's like there are other people who are trying to scam it as well, right? So in a way, the blame is kind of spread out also.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying? Then after that, he just said, okay, guys, here's the real one, you know?
Yeah. In fact, right now, so after, I don't have the exact time, maybe let's say 1 week, right? Right now, he's not quote-unquote scammer anymore. He's sort of like a hero. He 3x the initial holders value. You help people make money. People don't see you as the scammer anymore.
But there's a class action lawsuit against him now, right?
Not sure about it, but if they can find him, then I think it could be.
What about the lawsuit?
I think that there's a letter that addressed to him about he might face charges of deceiving investors.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Racketeering, fraud.
Yeah. So someone actually wrote this kind of letter to him, like a potential lawsuit and all.
If you
wrote back, in a like he tweet back and all this in a very funny way, like like a sarcastic way. That also drove attention and drove more like
the lawsuit fake one also.
Fake one. Shit.
Like more hype into the token. Like this guy,
shit, man. Yeah, yeah.
That's why he called his token PsyOps, because you don't know the things, you cannot predict him, right? What is he trying to do? Like unstable, this guy, what is he trying to do? And he hold a lot of token on his hand. He hold, if not wrong, 97% of the token. He only released 3% of the token into the market. And he also openly says that if I hold more than 90% with less, I can easily make it pump. Wow, people see this kind of stuff, excited, more liquidity into the system.
Boom.
This guy is, I don't know, good lah. Storytelling.
Yeah. I think he really understands the degen mindset very well.
He really
like he knows the ins and outs. Yeah. You know, like what they're thinking, right? Like actually it doesn't matter what. Like, you know, like even if this is a scam, like, you know, like I just put a bit low and then you've got a freaking like
That thinks like that, right?
Then then you have your 7 million in already, dude.
Yeah.
You know, so that's probably
for clarity's sake, there's no utility in this thing.
No, right now, no.
There's no need for utility, guys. Well, we should move away from this whole idea.
If you can define utility as the excitement money, and the fun that you get from participating in something like that.
So yesterday, he shared that there are projects coming to him as asking him to be advisor.
One of which is the Mark token.
Mark token, guys.
So, Mark, you want to release a token, right? Token. You go to him as an advisor. And of course, you will get a cut of your token, right? Like, let's say 25% of Mark. So he shared on Twitter that this XYZ token that I'm getting for being an advisor on other projects, I'm going to distribute out, airdrop to all my holders. Right? The more you hold, the more you get.
Oh, shit.
Wow. And a lot of projects start to reach out to him. Hey, can you be my advisor? Can you be my advisor? Because he succeed, right? He make a zero token value now into something with that. He's good lah. Yeah.
What about the Turbo Toad?
Oh, Turbo Toad. Yeah, token. So there's another.
Similar, right?
Yeah, similar.
I thought
similar.
You want to say, can use a Timothy token?
Later after this podcast, we launched the Mark and Timothy.
No, but Turbo Toad is interesting because the guy had a budget of $69.
Yes.
And used ChatGPT to create it.
Yes.
Same thing, though. I think he also announced on Twitter, the creator, his name is Mankind. He's like, that's his artist name lah. Not he's not a wrestler, okay?
So with $69, Mankind, not a wrestler, started Turbo Toad. You see where he's going.
So same thing, he went on Twitter saying, I'm going to create this, something like that. And then he gets like $7,000 from his followers.
Yes.
Like for ETH, basically.
Yeah.
He created the thing with ChatGPT, and now there's $100 million market cap on this token. I think 69 billion tokens, he kept 9 billion, distributed 60 billion proportionally to the users that contributed $7,000. So you can just imagine how much money everyone is making.
Yeah, so crypto world, quite interesting. But there's a difference between the way that this guy did it and the way that Ben did it, right? This guy is not exactly creating a security at that point of time. Because when he sends out that token, there was no pool. He didn't like purposely create a pool. He sends out the token, let's say Mark token again, right? So I sent him $2 and he sent me 5 token. He just sent me 5 token. He didn't create a pool for me, right? Then I think he also tells the audience that if they want their own self go and create the pool, which is, And one famous influencer or one famous crypto account created a big pool, Pranksy.
Okay.
Yeah. Supported him because his process was he locked down everything. Or today, day one, I did this. Right? ChatGPT taught me how to launch this token. Day two, I did this. Day three, I did this. Day four, I did this. So yeah,
it's like, how to launch a token starter kit almost. Actually, we should kind of already break this down in terms of content. That should be quite interesting.
So after he did this, Pranksy came in because he don't have liquidity, right? He's spent $69 plus the 4K, 4.4 ETH. Right. Then but when Pranksy came in, he bought the token. He got some token from him and he set up a big liquidity pool. And
maybe that's also why it's just, you know, such a nightmare for like regulate. Because you see, like maybe the loophole here is that if I kind of like issue this token and I'm not creating the market for you, you go and create a market yourself, right? Then technically, right, not security, right? Kind of like, that is actually, and then, but then you, if you are the one that's actually creating the market, right, then you take responsibility for that already. Right, I never say you to go and trade it. What?
Yeah, correct. And so because of this security thing, right? So I want to bring you back to Ben Ish. Yeah. So why did that big crypto influencer, Big Boy Crypto, bought from Ben? He say, one of the reasons is because this coin already launched already. I buy it from him. It's not security. I did not found the token. Right, it took over.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. I founded and created a security versus I buy something, I buy a project and take over this project. Exactly. It's a different thing. Right? You set up for me, this guy.
Yeah.
If you want to come, please go after this guy.
Not me.
Yeah, not me.
It's the same thing. It's like, you know, a private company, right? But I don't want to take it. I make it public, right? Mm. Then it's a different thing altogether already. You know, so this is where, like, I feel as if, like, there's that
I don't know,
confusion. It's just so messy, man.
But the big thing here is that you should do the breakdown, like how to launch a token, and also
next week,
no whole bar, anything can go right now.
Yeah.
Very fun.
Yeah, crazy. Okay, welcome to another episode of DGen Corner. it's our new mini series. But next week we can talk a little bit about that, right? Yeah,
very fun.
How do you go about doing that, right? I think that will be an interesting tangent.
To DGen, some people cannot take it.
Yes. No, I mean, it's just a how-to, right?
But I also think it's a lot of, like, if you think about it, there are quite a lot of analogies to actually what's happening in, you know, in actually real world kind of like finance, investing and everything.
Okay, so confirm next week we head into Blockhead's office and then we'll just record the whole thing. How to start a token.
I think how to start a token, but also I think it's like, you know, like using Ben and BitBoy as a test case.
Starting is not the issue, right? It's about creating hype.
So it's the marketing and launching and all that. Yeah.
So next week we'll launch Mark.
Please don't. Yeah.
Launch team.
Yeah, not launch team.
TFC right. Also can.
It's okay, Tariq first. But yeah,
okay. It's gonna be very common. Like, okay, I would say that Mark's actually quite a good one. Or John. Or like
Ben.eth, that's the guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're not going to get a 3 or 4 character ENS now these days. Yeah.
No way.
So think of something else. Unless you can buy it off the secondary market.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm in a leg for no reason.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, guys. So yeah, looking forward to more degen discussion,
launching of token,
how to generate hype. I guess.
Let us know. Let us know if you like it. If you like it, that will be a recurring.
Again, not financial advice.
It's never financial advice. I think my whole content also sick.
It's not financial advice.
Doesn't work.
It's not strong enough. Never. Don't take it. Right?
If we're making money, you bring us out for coffee.
We're entertainment. So yeah.
But actually, next week we have a guest on the show.
You want to name drop the guest?
Yeah.
Or do you want to keep it let's just drop the name.
He's gonna be here next week. He's Marcus Thielen, Matrix Sports, head of research and strategy.
Matrix Sports.
He's also the author of a book, Crypto Titans, right?
It was just published earlier this month.
Is he in Singapore or
he's based in Singapore?
Nice.
You can also look him up on Telegram. He has a daily market update that he puts out. He'll be here talking to us next week. So if you have any questions, just
share it in our Telegram group. Share it anywhere, or Reddit. What else?
Yep. We'll address them all.
We'll address them all. And we'll see you next week. Take care.
See ya.
Hey, Coconuts. So I hope you enjoy this new show that we're building together with the team at Blockhead. And the goal is very clear, right? We're not here to shield any token or be a cheerleader for any project, but we feel that there's a lot of development that's going on in this space that we could cover and continue to be a little bit smarter as investors. I mean, eventually you tune in every week to a financial podcast network so that you can be smarter with your investments. And if so happen this is something that you're looking at, the crypto space, Web3, Metaverse, all these kind of stuff, then that is where we're trying to cover, but not from the angle of like, this is good, that is bad, but really trying to see it from like, what is happening, how is it developing, and I hope you find this useful and interesting, right? So if you want to continue to get more coverage around the crypto space, check out blockhead.co, and then we will see you next week.